Payback or Protection, Part 1 by Maria Fontaine.
We're seeing troublous times and evil men and deceivers growing worse in this world, as the Bible warned us they would. Seeing the suffering and harm that people like this cause, we can be tempted to react out of anger and to pray for retribution and judgment against them. These kinds of judgment prayers are usually referred to as imprecatory prayers. The dictionary defines imprecatory as calling down evil or judgment on another person. Imprecatory prayers are most often associated with verses in several psalms written by King David, though other psalms also contain imprecatory portions. It's important to distinguish the difference between these judgment prayers and a prayer to the Lord to intervene in whatever way is needed to protect someone from harm or to accomplish God's purpose. The imprecatory prayer involves a person passing judgment on others based on what he can perceive of their actions and calling on God to inflict evil on them as payback. On the other hand, the prayer for protection is a prayer for deliverance from evil, leaving the responsibility for judgment in God's hands. In this case, you are calling on God for his protection. You are not telling God to destroy someone, because only he knows the whole picture. We have to remember that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That, of course, also included Paul, formerly Saul, who was a prime example of someone who was considered evil and wicked by the early church. Of course, they were right. His actions were evil and wicked. I wouldn't be surprised if many of those folks who were being so persecuted by him were tempted to pray for his destruction. But Jesus knew that Paul would become one of his very fruitful disciples. As Christians, our prayer should be that Jesus will likewise transform the lives of those who cause us harm, which only he can do in his way and time. I studied this topic of imprecatory prayers several years ago, in response to some terrible event inflicted on the innocent, the details of which I no longer recall. However, the Lord indicated at the time that I should wait on presenting it in a post. Then, with the spiraling violence and troubled times that we are experiencing in so many places around the world, he reminded me of this topic and indicated that it's important for us to be reminded of how Jesus has taught us to respond in prayer and to others regarding these kinds of situations. I asked the Lord to confirm if my and Peter's thoughts on this subject were correct. Here is his response. I laid out in my own words the right approach to take when you are faced with those who perpetrate evil. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Jesus' death and resurrection ushered in a new era and a new covenant. He fulfilled the old covenant made with Abraham when he took upon himself the sins of the world and paid the price of death to redeem humankind. And when he rose from the dead, he provided the path to eternal life for any who would receive him. As the Apostle Paul explained, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh to God." Under the era of the Mosaic law in the Old Testament, there was no path to salvation, because people could not save themselves. Through the Mosaic law, God was showing how impossible it would be for us to do enough to redeem ourselves from the wages of sin. We couldn't be good enough in ourselves, so all that remained was judgment and retribution for sin. When we received Jesus' mercy and forgiveness, the need for retribution for the wrongs against us committed by others was replaced with something far greater. His love provided us a way to overcome evil with good. That's why he taught us to pray for those who hate us and wrong us. His power can then be manifested through us to help in the transformation of lives for the better. So how can our prayers express our desire to overcome evil? Would it be by praying for Jesus to avenge every wrong? How would that show forth the greatest power of all? The power of Jesus' love for you and for me and for all mankind, which is shown in his desire to bring all men to repentance, so they can become his children. Though King David sometimes prayed in anger and fury against his enemies, he often ended in prayers with praise to God for his goodness. He didn't yet have the gift of God to empower him with Jesus' supernatural forgiveness, because Jesus had not yet brought that reality to earth. Jesus brought the emphasis back to the greatness of the power of God's love and mercy. When a Samaritan city rejected him and his disciples, James and John were furious and were ready to call down fire out of heaven to teach that town and its residents a lesson. But how did Jesus respond? And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." I think of how many times in the past I've had the same attitude, thinking that God must want to rain down retribution. But instead, here is Jesus saying, "You don't know what manner of spirit you are in." Jesus is right and he is true. He gave us a different way to look at these situations. Regardless of what wrongs have been committed, even in the worst situations, could revenge undo the damage done, the lives lost, the grief, pain, and suffering caused? Could it rebuild unity or embody truth or compassion or mercy or forgiveness? Could it ever bring peace of mind or contentment of heart? We cannot fully understand, much less judge, someone else with our own understanding. It takes desperate prayer to let go of those feelings of anger at injustice. It takes faith to trust in Jesus' love and righteousness so much that we can know that the wrongs will eventually be made right by him. Sometimes it is hard for us to grasp this truth in our own understanding, and we might balk at it. Why would we want anything good for people after all the evil they've done? We think it will make us feel better to make them suffer as payback for what they did. But does it really?
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.